morning.
Good morning.
Peace.
And joy. It is, was a shock for me to be invited to speak again. I thought this time I was only going to speak once. And one of the joys of being able to speak is I get rid of this. So do it again. But it'll have to be out in California the next time around. Lord willing. I want to thank you for your recent gift a few days ago, $600. We do appreciate that. As Steve said in his prayer, the ministering of the saints here with us and the Lord's work in the Philippines. And we are partners with you. We are the long arm of the law, as it were. And we do appreciate your fellowship with us. If I had known that I was going to be speaking two times, I would have not used the message I used last week this week. Then I would have used it this week. So we're going to be good Chinese and we're going to go from back to front. And I would like to open up Judges chapter 6. And we're just going to take a bird's eye view of this before I give my report. I do not have slides. Well, I do have slides, but because of a lot of change to our program, I decided not to bring slides. That's why you will have to listen instead of look at the good pictures that maybe I could present with the slides. Judges chapter 6. We're going to consider Gideon again and how the Lord used him. And we're just going to look at a few of the key verses in chapter 6 and try and apply it to the world in which we live today. We've been challenged with masks and no proper glasses and social distancing and all of those other bad things, but good for our health. Our Korean friends, whenever we visited them, they would give us something new and they would say, oh, this is good for your health. So maybe what we're doing is good for our health. Who knows? The nation of Israel had turned its back on God. Verse 1 of chapter 6, and the sons of Israel did what was evil in the sight of the Lord. The sons of America, the sons of New Zealand, the sons of the world did what was evil in the sight of the Lord. Specifically here, Israel. But as we look at the world today, we see the same thing. And the norm of today's living is a contradiction to what God has given us in his word. And we're a bit like the people in the Old Testament who did what seemed to be right in their own eyes. But in the sight of God, it was not right. And we see things coming into society. You listen to it on the radio. You see it on TV. Promoting lifestyles that are contrary to God's word. And we wonder why God allows plagues, viruses, and everything else to come into the world. I think he's trying to get our attention. He wants us to return to him. The children of Israel did evil in the sight of the Lord, and he gave them into the hands of the Midian nation for 7 years. Let's hope COVID-19 doesn't go on for 7 years, because it's not good. Never mind. We won't even go down that road. And the Lord looked for somebody to take leadership. Somebody whom he could trust. And the Lord appeared to Gideon. After comparing the land, the Lord, or the conditions in the land, the Lord actually commissions Gideon to be his servant. And you think of Gideon and you hear of his evaluation of his own life before the Lord and before the people of the nation. And in reality, he was facing the truth that he was a nobody. But in the sight of God, he was somebody that God could use. Verse 10. I am the Lord your God. You shall not fear the gods of the Amorites, in whose land you live. But you have not obeyed me. The indictment against the children of Israel was very clear. And they were in the situation of being slaves, of losing their livestock, their crops, and everything else to the Midianites because they had not obeyed him. When we look at the world in which we live today, we're in that same situation. We have not obeyed the Lord. So on the one hand, there is indictment against us, but on the other hand, there is a note of encouragement. I am the Lord your God, number one. And he's not a God in a small little box that has to do with our salvation only. He's the God that is in control of the universe. Control of the situation we find ourselves in the world today. So the first encouragement, I am the Lord your God. Second, you shall not fear the gods of the Amorites in whose land you live. What are the gods in the land of which we live today? And we probably can all sum it up in one word. Self. Our entitlement. I'm entitled to do this. I'm entitled to do whatever I like, whatever feels good, because this is the society in which we live. And God is put to the side. God comes, and in verse 11, the angel of the Lord came. As we read down further, verse 12, and the angel of the Lord appeared to him and said to him, this is to Gideon, the Lord is with you, O valiant warrior. Doesn't tell us why he got this title. But it would seem that in the observation of God, Gideon was a man who was standing up for the truth. He was a man who was busy at work, even though he feared the Midianites. The Lord is with you. And if you forget everything else I say this morning, don't forget this point. The Lord is with you.
Amen.
And greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. Gideon is commissioned. He's called, he's challenged to stand up against the evils in the world that the nation was facing at that time. Jump down to verse 14, and the Lord looked at him and said, go in this your strength and deliver Israel from the hand of Midian. Have I not sent you? Have I not sent you? Gideon had all sorts of reasons why he should not be the leader. his position in society, his position in family. We're all things that would work against him if we were to look at it from a human point of view. I am the youngest in my father's house. I'm the least in Manasseh. But the Lord said to him in verse 16, surely I will be with you, and you shall defeat Midian as one man. Last week we looked at the fact that Gideon ended up with 30,000 men. God said, no, too many. Take them away. And he gets down to 300. But in God's sight, it was one man taking leadership responsibility that was going to deliver the children of Israel. We all have our excuses of why we cannot be involved in the Lord's work. Back in the Philippines, one of the biggest things is, I've not been to seminary. And I say, no, you've been to the cemetery. Oops, no, that's the wrong one. Never mind. But the Lord confirms with Gideon, verses 16 to 24. Gideon sought a sign from the Lord. After he had been called, he asked the angel of the Lord to wait, and he would go and prepare a sacrifice of unleavened bread and a kid goat, an ephah of flour. Put them in a pot and broth in the pot and brought them to him under the oak and presented them so. He came to worship the Lord. And this morning we gave emphasis to the fact that we have the joy of worshiping the Lord, not because of what we are, but because of what he has done. And the angel of the Lord said to Gideon, put it on the stone. I would think, put it on the fire. But no, put it on the stone. The angel of the Lord reached out a staff, and that rock became a burning fire. And the offering that Gideon brought before the Lord was acceptable and offered to him. So he is confirmed here with this offering. The power of the Lord had been displayed to him, and now he was challenged to go forth. In verse 23, the Lord said to him, okay, reference is made to the angel of the Lord, and then he is called the Lord. And generally speaking, I think it's well accepted that when reference is made to the angel of the Lord, it's the Lord himself. We won't get into a theological debate. The Lord said to him, peace to you. Do not fear. You will not die. Do we fear what's going on around about us? Paul could say that he was content with what his situation was in life, but to be with the Lord was far better. Gideon is confirmed. God has shown his strength. God has promised him that he would be victorious. The children of Israel, Gideon's own father, in fact, had set up a Baal and an Asherah in his own backyard. God said to Gideon, tear it down, smash it up. And God told Gideon to destroy the altar of Baal in verse 28 and the Asherah, which was beside it. It was cut down, and the second bull was offered on the altar which he had built. Again, we come back to the fact that worship was an important part in the life of Gideon. He brought his offering to the angel of the Lord. The Lord burnt it up, accepted it. Here he comes, and the Lord has told him to take two bulls, one to tear down the altar and one for a sacrifice. Gideon complied. He took 10 men with him. He was a little afraid, went out at night, tore down the altar of his father. Next morning, the people wake up and they're afraid because the altar of Baal, that dumb altar, those wooden sticks placed in the ground, were torn down. And they searched to find the person responsible because they wanted to put him to death. We thank the Lord that in our land we don't face such persecution, but in other countries they do. We thank the Lord that in the Philippines we can speak out against the idols of man. There's hundreds and thousands, probably millions, of idols set up throughout the Philippines. We have a message to take that we don't trust in idols. I remember one family. I might have told you this years ago. I don't remember, as I'm getting younger every day. Who's laughing over there? We went to a home. Clear, and started a Bible study across the street, and then we were invited into this home. They were feeling persecuted. They were feeling oppressed. Not persecuted, oppressed. And I went into the home, and everywhere I looked, there were idols. There were pictures of the saints and other things as well. And I said to the family, you've got to take those down. You've got to get rid of them. If you want deliverance, get rid of them. And I was amazed that they agreed with me. So we took them down, we went room to room, took them all down, put them in a box. I put them outside the back door and was planning to take them home and destroy them. Unbeknown to me, one of the children had come home and she didn't want that particular item to be taken, so she took it into the house. She didn't like that one to be taken away. That family never had victory. Although some made professions of faith, they've never gone on because their trust was in the idols. The people in the Philippines live in a different kind of darkness. Here it is in the darkness of self-satisfaction. But there it is in the darkness, being held by evil spirits and idols. Things that are contrary to God's word. And we go to them with the good news of salvation. Gideon came victorious. Gideon obeyed the Lord. He trusted the Lord. He stepped out in faith, believing what God had promised. We look back over the years of our service in the Philippines, and we are no heroes. But we see God at work. we see churches being started. We see assemblies growing. Of course, not as fast as we would like, but the Lord is at work. He has blessed his word and blessed us personally in our ministry for the Lord. We see lives changed, people coming to know Christ. Our God is so big. I'd like to share with you some of the things that are going on. I've got a whole list of different activities that we're involved in. We would ask you for prayer for our travels on Tuesday. We think we're going to go on Tuesday. Yeah. We found out, I think it was Wednesday, that we had no tickets, although they had told us we did. So Robin apparently spent much time trying to work with the travel agent, with Delta. And as far as we know, we had the tickets, but we'll let you know more later on. We are planning to be in California for about a month and then go back to the Philippines. That is a bigger question. We're quite content to stay here in Erie, if the Lord wills. But I don't really want to go back to the Philippines. They're still saying that the only people, only foreigners that can get into the Philippines are ambassadors and airline staff. And everybody else is banned at this stage. A month from now, we don't know what the situation will be, but it's all in God's hands. So pray for us as we make plans to go back for our travel. We do have trips scheduled for the UEA, United Emirates, UAE. United Arab Emirates, later on this year. We also had planned a trip to Cambodia and Vietnam in relation to Emmaus, but I think these trips will be definitely canceled, because again, we will still have to face the possibility of being quarantined and not allowed back. We also planned, we've got some trips planned for visiting some of the areas south of Manila. We had three, I think, scheduled for April for weddings and anniversaries, church anniversaries. They all fell through. A couple that were scheduled to get married before in April, they postponed their wedding till July, and now they have decided just to have a civil wedding because nobody can travel in the country. So, Lord willing, they are full-time workers, and Lord willing, their wedding will be June 15. We thank the Lord for good health. This has been a time for us to relax a little, have a change of pace, not fight Manila traffic, although because of the quarantine, we didn't have much traffic to fight. The problem was we had roadblocks and they wouldn't let most people through. So it was stay at home for these 6 weeks before we left. Okay, an update on some of the ministries that we're involved in. Good thing Pete never told me how long I had, so that's his problem. Just had word that the new chapel auditorium that we're building at camp just needs a coat of paint. I don't know whether the ceiling is in, but the message was coat of paint is the only thing required. We will have seating, Lord willing, for 900 people. And in order to do that, we have to be allowed to have camps and conferences. And even now, there is debate whether we will be able to hold our summer camps next year. But we thank the Lord that progress is being made in that area. All of our summer camps were cancelled, which brings a financial burden to the camp because we rent the camp out, and the fees that we make during the summer carry us over for the rest of the year for building, for maintenance and staff expenses and so on. Those funds are not available, but our God is still in control. So our schedule for 2021 is in jeopardy at this stage. We're not sure just what's going to go on there. One of the good things that has come out of this is a number of our Filipino co-workers have set up Bible teaching programs through Facebook and other methods. And they are doing their best to encourage people via Facebook. I don't like speaking online. I'm not sure whether I'm going to, but at least these brothers are doing a good job. The assemblies that we are working with, as I've mentioned before, the Cainter Assembly, which runs Linwood Christian Academy, has required the parents of students who are availing a free tutorial training are required to attend Sunday school. Our Sunday school is bigger than our Sunday service. We had probably about 75, roughly, in fellowship on Sunday morning. But our Sunday school is probably larger than that because both our 5th and 6th grade students are also now required to attend Sunday school. So the Word of God is being taught to the parents and the kids. And that is an addition for the kids to what is taught in class. Many opportunities. In Rosario, their outreach program, through funds that were received from New Zealand at a place called Amal. As I mentioned in prayer meeting, 256 families received meals. They were not allowed to meet face to face, but the gospel was given through tracts. And there was a very nice letter from one of the village leaders thanking our workers there, one of the elders from the Rosario Assembly and the team that's worked with them in the distribution of food. Pray that this will bring much fruit. The next door village, Amal 2, they desired to have a feeding program as well. Unfortunately, the funds were all dried up, but the Lord provided, and they have had a smaller outreach in that place. So in Rosario, there is a desire now to start a new assembly in this village. Actually, four of our families live there that attend Rosario. And we trust that the Lord will work in the hearts and lives of those from the community. A new assembly will be started. Also have an outreach from Rosario in the city of Antipolo, up in the hills. And one of the biggest problems that they have there is a lack of land, place to build a chapel. The saints are going up there regularly. At Hillcrest, some of the missionaries got together and they are providing three hot meals a week for poor people in the community in conjunction with the nationals. And we're using this as an outreach. In Angono, they also have a feeding program going on in the town of Angono, and they have an outreach in Arenda, and the fellowship in Arenda meets every other week, and in between they attend the Angono Assembly. So we're trying to build them up, trying to have an established witness in our end. Again, land for a chapel is an issue. Our schools. As I mentioned at prayer meeting, the president has declared that there is no face-to-face contact between students and staff. I'm not sure how you can do school other than for online. Most of our families would not have access to internet. It becomes a major issue. However, in relation to that, there is rumors going around that he has encouraged that schools will not be started until January next year. Whether that happens or not, I don't know. The Department of Education, whom we are under with our four schools, has ordered that the schools will be open on August the 24th. So the president is saying one thing, the Department of Education is saying something different. We are aiming for August the 24th, but what happens, what will be, will be. At Hillcrest, we have to go install internet. We have not had this before. It's going to be quite expensive, but we are planning and preparing for online teaching. And depending on whether we can have classes, if we have classes, then we've got to divide them up. And there's no more than 20 something in one class. So we will have to split our classes, have 2 hours per class session, or per 2 hours a day for our students, compared to the 6 that they normally would have. So assignments have to be given, and hopefully internet will help in some other ways. But this is going to be a major problem in all of our schools. So we've got to put internet in. The other schools have internet, which is a good thing. And Lindcrest, which is from the work of Hillcrest, this has not been put into our budget. Since we have no funds coming in, our teachers are really suffering at this time. Though the Lord has provided in some ways, at least our teachers are all still alive, for which we're very thankful. The Lord has provided for their daily bread, okay? But not having regular income for 3 months is a strain for families. And there is no government handout. Well, not quite true. There is a small government handout, but you have to line up and you have to get all the paperwork in line. Real problem. So this year, for our schools, we had to cut them short by about 2 weeks. Consequently, there's no graduation, no moving up ceremonies, no recognition of the work that the students have done, which is the same as most places around the world. Our Emmaus office, Bible School of the Air, has been closed since about March 15. We do have 3 staff members. We're in the process of looking for a new director. I am the director at present. I'm getting older now, and we need to find somebody of the Lord's choice to take over leadership. So pray with us that the Lord would provide. Pray with us for the translation of courses and the printing of them. Because some of our teachers have been off work, they have been able to do translation work. We have 3 that are working specifically on translation right now. One has been full-time in translation, but we have 2 others who are working on translation. We have so many old courses that need to be retranslated. And in many cases, it's much easier for them to start off from scratch than to try and upgrade the courses that have already been translated. So pray that the Lord would continue to provide for these people that are involved in translation They do it on a volunteer basis for the most part, and we are thankful for them. But there is so much work to be done in that area. And Emmaus Worldwide, as it is now known, we were Emmaus Bible Correspondence School, and then we became ECS Ministries, and then they became Emmaus International, but there was a copyright issue, and they are now Emmaus Worldwide. Hopefully we don't have to change names again. But we are now known as Emmaus Philippines, and for us to follow the program that Emmaus Worldwide has set up, there are a lot of new courses that we have to translate, and this is a challenge for us. And then when it comes to the printing of courses, of course, that's very expensive, but we have a sister, actually, she is our sales rep, or the sales rep of a printing company, who has a heart for the Lord's work, and for us in particular, for Emmaus Philippines, and she has actually been paying for the printing of some of the courses. And we thank the Lord for her willingness to do this. It's a blessing to us and a tremendous help, and that we don't have to worry about that. We are in the process of working on the building. We were in the process of working on the building. The second floor was mostly enclosed. We do have plans for a four-story training center at the Emmaus office. Whether we go to four floors or not, I'm not sure, but we at least hope to go to three floors. But our workers have been laid off since March, and they have had to really endure, suffer, because they have no income for most of that time. They are contractual workers. We have been able to help them and advance some funds for them, but it's stretching out further and further. They are still not back to work, and we're not sure when they're going to get back to work. But we want to get the second floor finished as soon as possible, because I want to take our workers, our construction workers from there, take them to the school in Cayinta, and we need to build a new stairwell and staircase, stairway for the building there. So that's part of our projects as well. Pray for our carpenters. Most of them are from the assembly at Hillcrest, and they have been working for me for, they've been working for the Lord through us for a number of years now. And they cannot travel into Manila from their homes. Well, that becomes an issue. And as of now, we still do not have permission to continue the building projects. I've gone long enough. Anybody have any questions? Now it's on your time. Doug.
What is your biggest concern besides the impact of COVID across the whole nation there in Philippines? What is your biggest concern for the work going forward?
Our biggest need is leadership. We have about 150 full-time workers in the Philippines amongst the assemblies. Some of them are there just because they didn't have any other job. Years gone by, and the assembly said, well, we'll commend you. Their heart is not in the work for a lot of cases. We have a lot of young people who are well trained, but the leadership in the local assemblies are not as well trained, not as enthusiastic, and instead of becoming a help and an encouragement, have become a hindrance. But leadership is our major concern. Filipinos are great at evangelism. They do need Bible teachers. That's why we're still involved with Bible school, which I didn't mention earlier. But training of future leaders is our number one project in the Philippines today. Any other questions? I know it's going through your mind. When's Dave going to shut up? Okay, no more questions. Let's pray. Father, we thank you that you have called us from sin. We thank you that you have given to us your word to teach and to train us how to live and to serve you. Lord, it's our prayer that we, each one, would be true servants of the living God. Help us to be obedient to your word. Help us to stand up for what is right. And help us to carry out the mission that you have given to us to take the good news into all the world. We thank you, Lord, for what you're doing in the Philippines. We thank you for our co-workers, their needs. We pray for them. You continue to provide. And Lord, we look to you for the future. Things have changed in the world in which we live today. But we know that you are in control and you're giving us opportunities to serve you in new ways. Lord, help us to adjust to the situation. Help us to have a vision of not just accepting the here and now, the present situation, but we each one would stand up and be accountable to you. Lord, help us to perform the task that you have decided for us. We know that you are with us. And Lord, we just need that extra faith to go forth in your name, trusting and believing in you. We thank you for this assembly, for its commitment to missions, to us personally, as a family, to the mission that we're involved in. We thank you, Lord. We ask that you would continue to pour out your blessing upon the saints here at Grace Gospel. Separate us now, we ask, in your worthy and precious name. Amen.